The late actor Sir Alec Guinness once commented, "All creative people hate mathematics. It is the most uncreative subject you can study." You're listening to the After Dinner Scholar, Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast about the great books and the liberal arts. I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. By contrast to Sir Alec Guinness, the German mathematician, Hermann Weyl, asserted just the opposite. Besides language and music, he said, mathematics is one of the primary manifestations of the free creative power of the human mind. So which is it? Is mathematics the most uncreative subject you can study, or one of the primary manifestations of the creative power of the human mind? Is it a mind-numbing pile of problem sets, or an invitation to explore new horizons of new worlds? Is it to be avoided like the plague, or drawn into a loving embrace? Wyoming Catholic College professor, mathematician, Dr. Scott Olson, well, after all, he is a mathematician, so you would guess where he would come down on this question. If you're a skeptic, however, who's never been particularly fond of math, can he convince you the way he has convinced so many of his students over the years? I asked Dr. Olson to begin by telling us what mathematics is and what it isn't.
Oh, wow. What is math? What is it not? Well, that's a complicated question. There's lots of different answers people try to give. But let me make a couple offerings. It's a study of quantity and relation. The study of figure and size and shape, extension. Also how things are related. And that's a little more abstract of an idea.
You know, it seems to me that people go into math thinking it is a certain thing when that's not really what it is.
Oh, sure, right. And that's not so much about what it is as what the experience of doing it is like. I mean, doing long division is certainly math. And I wouldn't deny it is math. But people have the impression that doing long division problems is what doing math is like. And that's not at all what doing math is like. I mean, doing math is never repetitive. It's always creative. It's usually a social activity. You don't know the answer, and there's not some kind of recipe that you can follow to get the answer. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. I mean, I remember doing math. I enjoyed math as long as it became a recipe for getting answers.
Mm-hmm.
When it got increasingly abstract, it didn't get increasingly abstract for me. It was simply mind teasers. It was like doing a crossword puzzle or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was, here's this random problem with random numbers, and you go through this process and you come out with an answer that's basically a random answer. I mean, it was brain teaser games,
mm-hmm,
rather than something that I found terribly creative.
Yeah, what I mean about the creative part is that when you're doing math, typically you don't know what, it's not clear what you need to do. It's not like having, 100 long division problems where as long as you do this next thing, as long as you figure out how to convert the word problem into the right form, into a formula, then you can work it out. There are many interesting math problems where people just don't know what the answer is, right? People have no idea what the answer is or whether or not something's true or how you would prove it. So that's more.
But you have to work your way up to that.
You do, sort of, yeah. Yeah, I think you do. But we tend, I think, to kind of hide it from kids. And I think that's a lot of the reason why young people end up convincing themselves or being convinced that they don't like math.
I read somewhere that 4 out of 10 students say they hate math, and the 6 left over aren't all that fond of it. In your experience, why do students dislike or hate math?
Of course, a lot of people say they hate math. I don't think they do.
Somebody said, I hate math, but I love counting my money.
Okay, yeah, I like quantity when it works for me, right? I don't think people actually hate math. It reminds me, I was at Fulton Sheen who said that, you know, the world's full of people who hate Catholics, but for what they think it is, what they think the church is, but only a few people for what the church actually is. I think math is sort of like that. Yeah, I get it all the time. You know, if I'm in an airport or something and someone meets me and they say, so what do you do? Saying I'm a mathematician is sort of like saying I'm a mortician or something. You know, they look at me, they say, oh, I hate that. Oh, okay, thanks. You know, can you imagine doing that? You know, what do you do? I'm a arborist. Oh, I hate trees. Oh, okay. Yeah, so I get that a lot. And of course, from students. I think the thing is that people have had bad experiences doing what they think is math, when in fact it often isn't math. It's sort of things that's related to math, doing long division problems, for example. And I guess the other thing I would say is that people think they don't like math because they have the experience every time they do math of feeling pain and feeling their ignorance. They feel confused and they feel like they're suffering. And I guess I would say that it's normal to not like those things, but it's also a mistake to confuse mathematics with those things. It's like saying you don't like being healthy because you don't like the feeling of pain when you run. There's a pain that you have to go through to get to health, but everyone likes being healthy. In the same way, I think everyone likes knowing things. You know, all men, by their nature, desire to know. We enjoy that, but we do have to struggle a little bit sometimes. What ends up happening if you really fall in love with math is you get to the point where you kind of like that. It's just like people like running, and it makes no sense to people who don't run. You know, you have to run for a long time. You get to the point, though, where you actually enjoy the feeling of pain a little bit. And the same kind of thing happens with math. It's okay to not know things all the time. It's kind of exciting. You realize that around the corner, there's something waiting for you, you know. But the other thing that's kind of a paradox with this is that it feels hard, I think, in part because it's easy, which is surprising for most people. The thing about math is that when you do it, if I tell you something mathematical, you'll know right away. People tend to know right away that they don't get it. So if I say to you something about the Pythagorean theorem, right, that if we put a square on the hypotenuse of a right triangle, that it's equal to the sum of the squares on the other two legs of the triangle. Okay, so that's the Pythagorean theorem, right? And pretty much everyone, if I say that to them, and if they don't understand it, they'll immediately get that they don't understand it. There's a complete sense of clarity that I don't understand in mathematics that tends to happen. And that's a way of saying that math is easy. Because in fact, when you read, say, literature, or if you read the Bible, people don't get the Bible all the time and they think they get it, right? Which is a way of saying that the Bible is a lot harder than the Pythagorean theorem, right? So when you're doing math, you're constantly aware of what you don't understand. It's so easy to see that you don't understand things. And when you're reading literature or, you know, reading theology or something, people tend to not understand that. So the world is full of people who think that they get theology and are sure that they don't get math. When in fact, no, they probably don't get either theology or math. You know?
So. Well, what turns students from hating math to loving math? Assuming that one can make that swap.
Yeah, I think that's really important. That's a really important question. And I guess I would say a couple things. For older students and for younger students, maybe I'd give a kind of a different prescription. For older students, I think they need to have an experience of math that's much closer to what real mathematicians have fallen in love with. You know, Gauss and Newton, they weren't complete monsters, you know, who just... you know, they weren't complete freaks of nature that they could devote themselves to these things. They were interested in math because it's really interesting. And so people need to experience the kind of math that people like that could fall in love with. They'll find out that math is deeply philosophical, which is surprising to most students. It can feel like we're just making stuff up sometimes. And then we see what happens if we make things up. And that raises really interesting questions about what mathematics is. So for example, if I say, we're going to create a new number or a new kind of unit, we'll call it I. And if you square this thing, you get negative one. There are no numbers that if you square, you get negative one. You know, like two squared gives you four, and negative two squared still gives you four. But we're going to make up a new kind of thing that if you square it, you get negative one. What does that mean? Does that mean anything? Well, don't worry about that just yet. You know, nobody has ever seen the kind of apple that if you square it, you get a negative apple, right? But forget about that now. We're just going to work with it and see what happens, right? And it turns out some beautiful mathematics fall out of that little artifice. And of course, that raises the question, is, are we in La La Land right now? Is this a, you know, are we in fantasy world? Does this make any sense, this thing we're doing? So there are a lot of really philosophical questions that are raised when you start getting farther into math. If you, you know, you look at Euclidean geometry and non-Euclidean geometry, and you might ask the question, are either of these geometries real in the sense that they describe the physical world? And the question to that, the answer to that question is not as obvious as it sounds, right? So yeah, that'd be one thing. They need to have the experience of doing more interesting math, basically. I think younger kids, what they probably need most is the experience of doing math that's creative and social. I teach middle school kids. I co-coach a math team, middle schoolers. And, you know, you would think, I guess I would have thought before I coached them that it was going to be really hard to get middle school kids to come in and actually want to do math in the morning for an hour. That's actually not the problem. You know, they'll come in and they actually are just excited by doing math with their friends. I mean, maybe these are strange kids, but if you get kids together and you give them hard problems and you let them compete a little bit and play, actually kids think that that's fun. So, you know, they can work together to explore different solutions and problems that are a little bit harder for them. I think we give students problems that are too easy, too often, too repetitive. So,
now, if our listeners want to learn more about mathematics and go from hating it to loving it, what would you suggest? Are there any books or websites? Or
there are a lot of resources, of course, but I would want to answer that question in different ways depending on who was asking. So I would be very happy if anyone wanted to reach out to me and we could try to continue that conversation over email. I'd be very happy to do that. I mean, for middle school kids, there are great resources, but of course it's different if you're, you know, a college student or maybe a homeschooling parent or something.
All right, that's on the liking math side. Is it okay not to like math?
I don't think it is. No, I don't think it's okay to not like math. I remember when I was in high school hating biology. And I realized much later that it's not okay to not like biology. It's like saying, I like everything, I like God, but I don't like all the living stuff he made. And I think we can even make a stronger case actually for mathematics. To not like math is to say something like, I like God, but I don't like anything he made that's got extension or size or shape or can be counted. That's not really, I think, a coherent position for a Catholic, for an intellectual to take. I think rather you could say, well, you know, at this point in my life, maybe I can't devote a lot of time to mathematics, and that might be true. But I think the position we should take is something like, you know, someone who would love to go to Italy, but hasn't yet had the opportunity. If you said to them, would you like to go to Italy? It's kind of incoherent for someone to say, oh, no, I don't. I'm not interested in Rome. I have no interest in going there. You know, the position we ought to take is something like, well, I can't go right now, but boy, I would love to be able to spend some time there. I think we ought to say the same thing about mathematics. You know, even if you're, say, a physician or, you know, maybe you're a teacher or a mother or whatever, you obviously might not have a lot of time to devote to it, but it's something you can still, you know, realize is beautiful and good. It's part of reality. It's part of creation. And it's exciting, you know. Everything that God made is beautiful.
The astronomer Galileo famously said, quote, mathematics is the language in which God has written the universe, close quote. And the deeper we probe into mathematics, the greater our appreciation of the vast, intricately made, beautiful universe into which God has placed us. This being June, it's the last month of Wyoming Catholic College's fiscal year. Would you be willing to make a gift to the college as we close our books? You'll be supporting this podcast and our unique undergraduate education that makes these podcasts possible. Thank you in advance. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.